Sometimes it feels that things are just the opposite way they should be. Things that are valuable are despised. Good things are made fun of. People doing what is right are hated. On the other hand, evil seems to be getting the upper hand. The majority of the people around us ignores God, and they seem to be in control. People with bad motives and evil ways seem to be winning. Well, there are some things that we can do to change things around. We will frequently be in an uphill battle against sin and its effects. Suddenly, things might turn against us. Things might go out. We will not be in control of the circumstances, and everything will seem to be against us. And no one is exempt from this. The same thing happened to Jacob and Joseph. And we start looking at the life of Joseph, which is the last part of the book of Genesis. I would like to remind you that you should not underestimate the power of sin. And I want to encourage you to keep doing what you know is right, because God is watching over you and will turn things around someday. You don't know when, but in your life, when things seem to be going the opposite way, just stay steady. Keep trusting in God, and He will turn things around at the right time. So please turn in your Bibles into the book of Genesis chapter 37. And we're starting the story of Joseph. And before continuing, let's thank God for the privilege of looking at His Word this morning. Lord, we thank You for the written Word of God that we have here this morning. We thank You that You have provided everything that we need in order to receive all the blessings that You have for us, Lord. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise You for Him. We thank You for people who remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Joseph. And I pray that You help me to share this passage with my brothers and sisters, and also help us to meditate on the things that are important, the things that we need to do, even when things seem to be going against Your people and against Your ways, Lord. And Lord, thank You for Joseph, and thank You for caring enough about us and turning things around for our sake. And I'm praying this in Jesus' name. Amen. The whole history of humanity is an uphill battle against the power of sin. From the very beginning, sin came into the world through the first man, which was Adam. And that's where the battle began. And I'm saying it's a battle. It's not that sin is going to win, but sometimes it just feels that sin is winning. And we are going uphill against sin. At times, sin seems to have taken over. God had to destroy a whole batch of humanity because the earth was full of violence and every thought of man was towards evil. However, God promised to destroy sin and its power forever. He was going to send a son of a woman who would crush Satan and his power, but not without a battle. So after the flood, God chose a man that would start a nation, blessed by God, and blessed with God's presence and power. And that man was Abraham. The one who would have ultimate victory over sin would come from this nation, started with Abraham, from this family. Of his many sons, because Abraham had first Ishmael, then Isaac, and then he had six more sons with Keturah, of those eight children, only one received the promise. And that was Isaac. And then Isaac had twin boys. And as we saw in their lives, none of them followed the true God until later in life. And it was because God had to come to Jacob, and God pursued Jacob until finally Jacob understood, oh, the true God is revealing Himself to me. I'm going to worship Him. And then finally he experienced a conversion. But it was God going after Jacob. Now Jacob had 12 sons. And from all of them, only one seems to have understood who the true God was. He had 12 boys and one girl. And of all of them, only one seems to be in the right path, knowing that there is a true God to whom he is accountable. You would think that the God of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, the God of Israel, would have been known and sung by all of Jacob's children. I mean, God had done miraculous things in the lives of these three men. And however, the great-grandkids, 12 of them, only one of them is following the true God. If Joseph, who was the one who was following the true God, is killed, there would be no one to carry the worship of Yahweh unless God again comes and reveals himself to someone in that family. So, we need to remember also that God never fails. Things may go bad, and sin is powerful. However, God never fails. But also we need to remember that God is not going to fail in his calling of Abraham and the purpose that he has for his family. I call this sermon the lore of the dreams. In fact, in the passage we're going to see that in a mocking way, his brothers call him, "Here comes the Lord, the Baal, the owner." The Hebrew word is Baal for Lord. "Here comes the Baal, the owner of the dreams," or the dreamer, as it is translated. James Montgomery Boyce said of Joseph, or Joseph's life, "He was loved and hated. He was savored and abused. He was tempted and trusted. He was exalted and yet abased. Yet at no point in the 110-year life of Joseph did he ever seem to get his eyes off God or cease to trust him. Adversity didn't harden his character. Prosperity didn't ruin him. He was the same in private as he was in public. He was truly a great man." And we have certainly have a lot to learn from Joseph. So the first thing is, as we look at the beginning of Joseph's life and Joseph's family, we need to remember lessons from the past. Let's read verses 1 to 4. "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a sojourner, a stranger. He dwelt in the land of Canaan. This is the history or the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers," or he was standing, taking care of the sheep with his brothers. "And the lad was the son of Bilhah, and he was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wife. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Let me talk first, not about Joseph, but about Jacob. Jacob grew up in a family where there was favoritism. His father, Isaac, had chosen the hunting man, the man of the outdoors, to be his favorite, Esau. He loved the food that he brought. Because instead of eating sheep every day, sometimes he could have venison, or sometimes he could have birds. I don't know what he hunted. But he chose Isaac. At the same time, Rebekah probably enjoyed the help of his other son, Jacob. Whenever she needed something, Jacob was there to help. And each one of them chose one as a favorite. The favoritism in that family, even though they only had two kids, brought competition and brought separation. Because there was favoritism when Isaac, going against God's will, tried to bless Esau, Jacob stole the blessing. He deceived his father. Jacob came to the point where his father said, "Who are you?" And Jacob said, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." He came to the point where he felt he had to deceived his father to be able to obtain a blessing from God and from his father. And because of that favoritism, he had to run away for his life. His brother wanted to kill him. And he went away for 20 years, and he most likely didn't get to see his mom when he came back. That was the last time he saw his mom, when he left for Padan Aram. But in some ways it seems like Jacob forgot what it was to live in a household with favoritism. And now he doesn't have two kids, he has 12. And he has chosen two of them. And the two of them are called, Benjamin and Joseph, are called the sons of his old age. And this favoritism didn't help any of his children. It didn't help children. It didn't help Jacob. I mean, it didn't help Joseph. It didn't help Benjamin. And it didn't help the other 10 kids, the other 10 sons. Benjamin had to grow up without his true or his carnal, fully, without his full brother from the same father and mother. Now, Joseph was only 7 years younger than the oldest of his brothers, because between Reuben and Joseph, there were only 7 years. There were 12 children born between those 7 years. And probably Joseph and Dinah were about the same age. They were just some months apart. Joseph was the youngest, but Jacob wasn't still that old when Joseph was born. At the same time, when you got all those 12 kids together, they were only 7 years apart, with 12 different, at least 11 different boys. So, and they were from different mothers. So it probably didn't feel that they were completely full brothers. And the favoritism of, even though there was favoritism for Joseph, Joseph seemed to have understood who the true God was. And he had devotion for him. At his 17 years old, he sought to please God. Although favoritism was also getting upon him, and he became a little spoiled. So each time he was with his brothers, and their brothers, they did all kinds of bad stuff. I mean, these brothers were not afraid to murder people. They decimated a whole town. These brothers were not afraid to go against his father, like Reuben did. He took his father's wife and dishonored his father. These brothers did not fear God. So basically, you have Joseph hanging out with these very rough people, rough brothers, all about his same age, just a little older, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years older than he was. And he would come to his father and tell them all the bad things they would do. And his father doesn't seem to say anything about that, but he just loved Joseph more than all his children, and he made him a special coat. And that coat, we don't know where the many colors came from. It's not in the Hebrew. It was a coat that came to his palms, and maybe it went all the way to the sole of his feet. Basically, it was a nice coat with a long sleeve coat. I guess people used to make different kinds of coats, and of course a long sleeve coat wouldn't be a coat that you'd be working outside on the fields with. I mean, it would be for traveling, it would be a nice, elegant coat. A king would wear a coat like that. And that's what Jacob did for him, also showing that he was probably the one who was going to receive the blessing. If he was going to choose someone to give a blessing to, it was going to be Joseph. He considered him his firstborn, the one who deserved the birthright. So you would think that Jacob would have done better, but many times we do the same things. And what I want to encourage you is that we have a lot of... Jacob didn't have the lessons that we have in the Bible. Now we know that God does not... doesn't do practice favoritism. There is no partiality with God. God treats everybody the way He wants to treat them. But He treats them in a fair way. You cannot say, God, you are not fair for doing this. And Jacob didn't have those instructions. Jacob didn't have instructions how to raise his own family. So he repeated the same mistake that he had lived growing up in his own life. And many times, sometimes we don't learn those lessons until we hear them or we see them spelled before our eyes. And that's where the Bible comes from a great value to us. It is a great blessing that we can just look at the Bible and look at different principles that we can guide our lives and our families by. So remember lessons from the past. And the second thing is see God's work around you. The second thing we see here in verse 5 is that Joseph had a dream. And he told it to his brothers. And what happened? They hated him even more. Why? So he said to them and said, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. I made my own picture of the dream. There we were binding sheep, and these are the sheep that they were binding in the field, and behold, a sheep arose and stood upright, and indeed all of your sheep stood all around, and they bowed down to my sheep. The important thing about, I don't have his sheep there, we have one there bowing down, but the important thing is the word bowed down is something that his brothers didn't miss. When something bowed down, it's not just that it was just bending down. It was with the purpose of honoring, worshiping. It's something that you would do before God, or before a king, or before someone in authority, or someone you wanted to show respect. And something that he realized is that all these sheep were bowing down to his sheep while he was sleeping. And the brothers pick up on that and they said, are you certainly going to be king over us? Are you going to rule over us? Are you going to have dominion over us? So they hated him even the more for his dreams and for his words. Notice that this hatred started with the favoritism of the father. It's not that the brothers just hated him because he's Joseph. It's because the father started with that, and then he, being special, he just came and told the bad things that his brothers did, and now with this dream, it just got worse. The second dream he had, which you also have heard, is another dream. I dream another dream. This time the sun, the moon, and 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him, saying, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and to bow down to the earth before you? And again, this bow down to the ground, the earth is not, are we all going to be prostrated before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept things in his heart. Just like Mary, when they came and told him things about the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary understood that God was doing something with this child. She heard all these shepherds saying all these wonderful things about this child. He's going to sit on the throne of David. He is the Messiah. He is the one who is going to redeem Israel. And Mary just heard them and understood that God was doing something, and then she kept them in his heart. Here, Joseph had a dream, but not just a dream. He had a gift. A gift that God was working in Jacob's family. Jacob had had dreams in his life before. When he was fleeing to Padan Aram because his brother was going to kill him, God appeared to him in a dream, and he saw a ladder. Now his son is having a dream, and they're weird dreams. Stars and moons bowing down to him. Was he a little bratty telling this story? Maybe. Was he naive about it? Didn't he know his brothers already hated him enough? and that this was going to add to their hatred. Maybe he was young and naive, and maybe he, since they were so close, he just felt that they were bodies, and this is what I dreamed. But in some ways, God wanted Joseph to tell this dream for two reasons. One of them is that Jacob would understand what was going to happen. Now, Jacob missed it. Even though he put it in his heart, notice that when Shechem abused his daughter Dinah, Jacob didn't say anything. He didn't rebuke Shechem. He's like, why did you do that? When he heard about Reuben taking his concubine, he didn't say anything. He kind of complained to Simeon and Levi, and he said, you have made me hateful to all the nations around it. But now that Joseph has a dream, and now in this dream he hasn't murdered anybody, he hasn't done anything against anybody, Jacob is going to rebuke him. What is this, son? Why are you speaking like that? Instead of noticing that God is giving him a gift from all his kids, this is the one who is trying to follow God the closest, and God is talking to him. Jacob is missing it. He's rebuking him. He's like, am I going to bow before you? Later, the Lord Jesus Christ says the same. How is it that the son of David, how is it that David called his son his Lord? And this is a great example of that the life of Joseph is so similar to the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because later, David, who is supposed to be older, in a psalm, before he dies, he calls him, the Lord said to my Lord. How is it that David is calling the son, the king that is going to come from him, Lord? And this is what was going to happen. The son, who was Jacob, was going to honor him or give him some respect. So God is working around you. So remember lessons from the past and don't repeat them. That's the purpose of having the Bible. See God's work around you. And the third thing is keep on doing what is right. Notice the way that Joseph obeyed his father. Verse 12, then his brothers went to feed or to tend or to shepherd their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Then he said, please go and see if it is well with your brothers. The word well there is shalom. Go and see if your brothers have prosperity, if everything is going well. If there is shalom to your brothers and shalom to the flocks. Here's another example of how the word shalom is used. If there is peace to them. And bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and there he was, wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking for my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they've departed from here, and I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Shechem was the place where Joseph and Dinah and old Jacob raised his family. Then they came to Bethel. That's where Jacob made an altar to God. And then they moved little by little. When they got to Bethlehem, that's where Joseph's mother died, Rachel. And they finally came to Hebron and Mamre. And they were living here. So while they were living here, the amount of flocks they had was so abundant that they had to take them all the way to Shechem to find enough pasture for their sheep. Esau also had a lot of sheep, and he was taking care of his sheep down here in the south. And Jacob had to send them north to Shechem. And by this time, of course, Shechem had already been destroyed by them. And it was about 50 miles. So Jacob was willing to send Joseph by himself 50 miles to see the brothers. And then when he got there, they said, oh, they have moved from here, and you couldn't miss them. Men with so many flocks, you knew who they were. So it was very easy for this man to tell, oh, I heard them talking. They went north to Dothan. So they went 15 more miles up north. And there, that's where they found him. But what we see here is the way that Joseph respected his father. Something that you're going to find in the Old Testament is that you find God talking about the love of a father for his son. When God talked to Abraham, he said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him to me in the mountain I'm going to show you. But when you see love between husband and wife, but you see love between God for his people, but what you don't see is love from the children to the parents. Each time that he talks about children towards parents, he talks about the word honor or respect. And the word honor is only used for God or for people in authority or for parents. So our responsibility is to honor our parents. And usually we love our parents. And maybe that's why it's not emphasized in the Old Testament. But the main thing is to show respect and honor to them. And Joseph, probably of all those children that Jacob had, was the one who was showing the most honor to his father. And so when his father said, Joseph answered, here I am. What can I do for you, Dad? Just tell me. I'll do it. I want you to go by yourself and find your brothers. Okay, Dad. I'll do it. And he went. He kept on doing what was right, even though he was sending him to a group of people who hated him. And then when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father asked him to come and to die for us. And Jesus knew that he was coming to a group of hostile people who was going to put him to death also. Of course, Joseph didn't know they were going to put him to death yet. He didn't know how bad the hatred was. And he came to see after their welfare, to see if there was shalom to them. The same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to give us peace with God, and a peace of mind, just like knowing that our sins have been forgiven. So even though things may not be going the right way, we should keep on doing what is right, even though they may get worse and really fast. So remember lessons from the past, see God's work around you, keep on doing what is right. And the next thing is, don't underestimate sin. Sin has a lot of power. In fact, it took the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to defeat the power of sin. And sometimes we take sin very lightly. Here, their hatred had come to a point where it turned into murder. The same thing that happened with Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel because of envy and because of hatred. Hatred turns, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you are mad against your brother, you have committed murder. Hatred can turn really easy into murder. Let's read verse 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him and to what? To kill him. And they said to one another, look, the Lord of the dreams is coming. And the Baal, that's the word, it's translated dreamer, but in this case, the Hebrew says, the Baal, the Lord, just like the god Baal, which means Lord, the Baal of the dreams is coming. And they were just making fun of him. Ooh, come on, let us kill him now. They knew that they were so far from his dad that it wouldn't take much work to do that. Let's kill him and throw his body into some pit. And then we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him, or some evil beast has eaten him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. The good thing is God sometimes has to save people from their stupidity. They didn't know the value that Joseph was going to have for them. if God hadn't saved Joseph, their whole family would have perished, most likely in the famine. Plus, God's plans never fail. I'm sure he would have appeared to Judah or someone else to lead the family. But in this case, none of them argue, Reuben wasn't with them at that time, against killing Joseph. I guess Reuben, who was the oldest, had a little more sense. But all the other ones, they were in complete agreement. Yeah, let's kill him. He's not worth it to be alive. Just like with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or with Paul in the book of Acts. It's not worth it for that man to live. It should be taken away. What's the problem? Is he killing people or something? No, he had two dreams. And he's favored by God. He has a gift from God with dreams. And he's favored by his father. So, Reuben heard it. And he had some sense. And he tried to deliver him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him. Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness. Let's cast him, let's throw him into the pit, but alive, not dead. And do not lay hand on him, so that he may deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So it came to pass that when Joseph had come to his brothers, they just jump on him and they strip him, just like they stripped the Lord Jesus Christ from his clothes. But they didn't crucify him, they just threw him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There wasn't water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Basically, they had no conscience problem. They really wanted to get rid of Joseph. You just plan to murder someone, and they are not even worried about it. "Oh, I'm hungry, it's time to eat, lunchtime." They'll throw him there. You know what was happening with Joseph at that time, according to the same brothers, chapter 42? That they said to one another later, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, 'Please, brothers, don't do this to me.' And we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." Joseph was not just quiet there in the... He was yelling at them, "Please don't do this to me. No, I came to help you. I just came because Dad sent me. Don't do this to me. I'm hungry. It's lunchtime. What do you think?" "Yeah, let's go and sit down." And one of the commentators was writing, he was the words of Joseph that might have taken, I don't know how long, to travel those 25 feet from that cistern while they were eating. Took 22 years to travel into their hearts. Then it was 22 years later when these words were spoken, and then they finally understood. "Yeah, I remember my brother screaming really hard, saying, 'Don't do this to me.'" And they did it. So, don't underestimate sin. In this case, sin had hardened them so bad that they were willing to destroy, someone's innocent life, like many other people. And sometimes we need to understand that when we're dealing with other people, sometimes we need to be a little more cautious. If Jacob had knew the hatred of the brothers, or he had understood the power of sin, he probably wouldn't have sent Joseph that day, especially that he favored, or he wouldn't have sent Joseph by himself. He would have maybe sent someone else. But I think Jacob underestimated the hatred of his brothers. "Oh, he's always with them. He's always playing around and doing different things. So let me just send him, and I just want to know how they are doing. And I'll send him with his very favorite coat, the nice coat." So, in their heart, they had murdered Joseph. However, the last thing is that you can trust in God's providence. God has a plan and God is not going to fail. Sin seems to be winning here. Sin has the upper hand. We're going in an uphill battle against sin. And sometimes people who hate God they hate his people and they will try to murder his people, and sometimes they will, like in the time of Ahab, they kill basically all the prophets of God. But God is still in control and he's going to work things out. Maybe Joseph thought, you know, if I have to take my brother one-on-one, I can wrestle him down. But he had never thought that if he had to face 10 of his brothers together, he wasn't going to be able to stand up to them. And he couldn't. They just threw him really easily. These are very strong shepherds from a very strong father who was very strong at 70 years old, moving big rocks from Wales and things like that. Joseph was no match for them. So, let's see what happened. How did God save Joseph, at least save Joseph's life? So they lifted their eyes while they were eating, maybe their sandwich or whatever they were eating. And there was a company, well, it says they were eating bread, of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, after all, and our flesh." And his brothers listened. So the Midianite traders passed by, and the brothers pulled up Joseph up and lifted him up to the pit, from the pit. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels or 20 coins of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Judah was trying to make some money out of him. Did they need the money? Probably they didn't. But in his providence, God gave that idea to Judah. Things just work out at the right time. While they were thinking about killing him, suddenly, at the right time, there was this caravan of camels, of Ishmaelites. Was that God working it all at the same time? Of course it was God. And yes, they were going to get money out of Joseph. They didn't only got 20 silver coins. Later, they got enough money and enough provision for their whole families to survive 7 years of famine. So yes, they made a lot of money out of him. But that was originally God's plan. It was to provide for them through Joseph. However, because sin is so powerful, we need to focus on God's promises. And that's what Jacob didn't do. Jacob had received those dreams. And one of the dreams was the sheaves were made out of wheat, and that wheat was later going to provide food for them. Maybe it was God was telling them with those dreams, "Hey, remember that dream? There were all these sheaves? Maybe God is going to do something with those sheaves. They're going to bow down to the middle one, but God was going to provide with those sheaves." Verse 29, "Then Reuben returned to the pit." Reuben probably went to have lunch somewhere else. "And indeed, Joseph wasn't in the pit. And he tore his clothes. And then he went to his brothers and said, 'The land is no more. And I, where am I going to go? Where shall I go?' But they didn't tell him. So they took Joseph's tunic and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the tunic in the blood." So even in Reuben's mind, Joseph is dead. And they know he didn't die with the coat on, because he's actually watching them soak that tunic on blood. And then we're going to have the deceiver, Jacob, deceived a second time. He was deceived by Laban on his wedding night. And now he's going to be deceived by his children. Again, this is just the power of sin on Jacob's life. And that's why it was so important for God to bring the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the power that sin had. It had already destroyed a whole batch of humanity before. And now it is God who has to act to be able to help us in our battle against sin. And Jacob underestimated his kids. He didn't know that they were able to kill a whole town. Now, he didn't consider them dangerous enough that they would consider killing one of his sons, one of his brothers. And now, they're going to deceive him. And they are not remorseful of being cruel against their own dad. They're going to see how their dad is going to suffer with this news. And those 10 kids are not even, well, these 10 men are not even the least bit remorseful about that. So, verse 32, then they send a tunic of many colors, and I don't know if they sent it ahead of time, and then they took it and brought it to the father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And Jacob recognized him and said, it is my son's tunic. An evil animal has eaten him, or a wild beast has devoured him. Without a doubt, Joseph has been torn into pieces. Certainly, an animal just, because of the amount of evidence they have, he was just torn into pieces. And that's a different word from devoured. He just saw the worst of him, of the what had happened. Then Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth in his waist and mourned for his son many days. Sackcloth was made out, it's the same word from sack. It has moved from Hebrew to Greek to Rome to Latin, and now we have it in the English language. In Hebrew it's shack, and in English it's sack. It was a sack to put potatoes or whatever, and it was made out of hair, made out of goat's hair, or made out of camel's hair, but usually it was goat's hair. And it was very itchy. It was just like any sack made out today. So it's like maybe grabbing a Walmart bag and putting it on, but that's not as itchy. But this is what Jacob did. And usually they would only cover the loins from the hips down so that they could have the chest open in case they wanted to beat it. To show their pain. And the normal time to mourn for a person would be about 7 days, but Jacob, he mourned for many days, and there was no remorse on those brothers, and all of his sons and all his daughters arose to confront him. And some people say, oh well, the word daughters there, he maybe had more than one daughter. He might have, his daughter-in-laws would also be considered, you are my daughter, just like Ruth and Naomi. So he might have had just one daughter. So all his sons and daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. So here we have, and we're going to see exactly the difference, Jacob having forgotten God's promises. Notice that being a true follower of God doesn't mean that you're just going to win against the battle of sin very easily. Think about Jacob. His whole life he was struggling with sin. First, his brother wanted to kill him. And basically, sicknesses, crime, and everything is the result of sin. God didn't make our bodies to get old and die. But because of sin, we get sick, we get old, we struggle. And we need to not underestimate its power. It is because of sin that Jacob is now going to spend several years of his life mourning for a son that is alive. His son is actually alive, but he's going to be suffering all these years in his own life with the thought that, oh, my son, the son that I love, is gone. And at the same time, he wasn't thinking about the dreams that were a gift from God, and that maybe in Joseph's naivety, God made him tell the dreams. God had a purpose in Joseph telling those dreams. he might have used different things about Joseph's personality, but the purpose was to give some hope. But they just forgot about that, and he just believed what his son said. So now the deceiver gets to be deceived. So, living righteously does not spare you from suffering. We also have here Joseph. He was living a righteous life compared to his brothers. And now where is he? He is a slave. He has just gone big trauma, screaming to his brothers. Maybe they had other slaves, and then they chained him to the other slaves, still saying, "No, brothers, don't do that to me." And now he's gone. He had been trying to live righteously, but he's fighting sin, and in this case, sin is winning the battle, but not the war. So you can be sure that God will keep you and preserve you. Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That doesn't mean that you're just going to skip over the valley of the shadow of death. You still have to go through it. It's going to be hard, but focus on God's promises. David focused on God's promises in that Psalm 23, and Joseph is going to focus on God's promises, and he's going to keep on doing what is right. But if you don't focus on God's promises, you will have to suffer as you see sin winning the battle, just like Jacob did for many years. So God's plan for the future may stir anger in men and grief some people. God's plan was for Joseph to become leader over his brothers. And what when God showed the plan to Joseph, and then Joseph told the plan to his brothers, and what did they do? "Yeah, brother." No, they were really upset. "How is that going to happen? Ha ha ha. We're going to see. We're going to fight those plans." God wants Jesus Christ to reign. Well, some people are fighting against Christ, taking control and doing God's will. So God's plans may stir anger and grief in people, but at the end, they are a source of blessing. The plan of God was to bless Jacob's family, and that's what he did. The brothers thought that the world would be better without Joseph. If we just get rid of this dreamer, everybody will be happier. But the truth is that if God hadn't acted, the world would have been worst, because God's plans are a plan for blessing. So, when things suddenly seem upside down, sin seems to be winning the battle. Things are against what God has taught and showed. Keep on trusting God. Stay away from sin. And remember the things that the Scripture asks us to do, to stay away from, and the things that the Scripture commands us to do. And don't underestimate sin, and keep on doing what is right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of Joseph. I pray that you will help us to meditate on these things. Lord, help us to understand that you worked to different people on earth, and then what you have for the future, you have revealed to us in the Scriptures. I pray that you will help us to remember those promises as we struggle with sin. And Lord, I pray that you will also help us to do the wise thing, which is to keep on walking on your ways, even though we may get discouraged because things don't go the way that we want them to go, Lord. And I pray that you will bless each one here who is struggling with sin, maybe not directly in their lives, but maybe with the consequences of sin, with sicknesses, with grievous things, with sad things in people's lives. And I just pray that you will help us to remember that you have something better for us, and you have sent your Son to find us and to bring peace to us, Lord. And we thank you for that, and we're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.